All righty. How's everybody doing?
Good.
All right, let's turn to the book of John. We're in John chapter 8. And let's read verses John chapter 8 and read verses 30 through 36. Let's get go this way just because it's the way my brain works. And can you go ahead and start, Micah? John chapter 8, verses 30 through 36.
And he spoke these things that many came to believe in him.
To the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples."
And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How do you say you will become free?"
Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin.
The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever.
So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed."
Freedom. Thanks for reading. Freedom is what Jesus is talking about.
Taxes.
Freedom from taxes?
Taxes.
I'm sorry.
Did you ask, what freedom is he talking about?
No, I said he's talking about freedom. And the freedom he is talking about is freedom that matters. What freedom is that? Now I'm asking. What you got, Mr. Taylor?
I just
thought. Yeah, why is Xavier? I'm sorry.
It got you in trouble, see? So what freedom is he talking about?
The whole section.
Anyone can answer, not just Mr. Jesus. Yeah. Spiritual freedom. You know, that's what the freedom that really matters. You know, we have lots of people that would like physical freedom from country, from taxes, like you mentioned, and so forth. But those freedoms really are empty, you know, because eventually there's something else that can bind you, that can bind on you. So Jesus here is talking to the people. He wasn't like the people, the teachers of that day. Who was the teachers of that day?
The Pharisees and Sadducees, right?
Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes would be another one. Okay, they were the ruling elite party that taught people. But Jesus, when he taught, Jesus was different. How was he different? How was Jesus? Why did people flock to Jesus instead of the Pharisees and Sadducees? What ways was Jesus different as a teacher?
We have to say it's love and kindness.
Loving kindness is one.
Authority
was one. Yeah, authority definitely is one. He spoke as not just quoting something, but he had authority.
People.
What's that? He healed people. That was the way he was different too. But he was confident. Authority, I think that really ties in there. Jesus was very confident in his abilities to handle tough questions, to talk to people, and to communicate with them. He was obviously, you know, right off the bat, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the people, he was different. He didn't have a hidden agenda. The Pharisees... Go ahead.
He spoke the truth to people. He didn't try to just appease people.
Right.
You know, he wasn't there to win friends and influence people.
You know? Exactly. Yeah. You know, and to win friends and influence people, that's one way. Again, that's a hidden agenda, a hidden motive. Or he wasn't out there trying to milk them or trying to control them, put them under their thumb like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus just told it like it was. He said, "This is how it is." And
but he did it differently than the Pharisees and Sadducees too. They did it like they were turning their nose up at them, and you know, like they were lesser. He met them at their level, and actually, even though he spoke with authority, he showed love.
Right. No, you're exactly right. He met the people where they at, spoke with authority, but it wasn't condescending.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, here we read right here, these are the inspired account of what's happening here in John. It's a powerful, remarkable statement, is the core of Christianity. Let's, John 8, verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That is a huge statement. Because people want to be free. They want to get away from the chains of this life. You know, they just don't know how, and a lot of people don't even really know what's got them ensnared. So, that truth that makes them free, this is really the core of Christianity, being freed from the snares of this life. Ultimately, you know, while I'll say honestly for myself, you know, I'm nervous about death as far as the unknown, but we're free from worrying about that. We know we have something greater, thankfully, than what this life has to offer. And so Jesus offers the most powerful freedom that we can have. And Jesus, when he talks here, he speaks as one of having authority. Other religions that are out there, what are they founded upon?
Ideas.
Well, whose ideas?
What men want.
Yeah, what men want. Mm-hmm. You know, the writings of the Quran is what Muhammad wrote it. You know, and he didn't claim to be God. But Jesus claims to be God, and we have his words and his commands in the scriptures laid out for us. Although all the other religions, there's you can see that there's a human motive behind it. With Christianity, with the words of Jesus, there is no human motive. It is purely, it's coming straight from God when we get to read in the Bible. The Bible was written by about 40 different authors over a period of about 1,500 years. But yet one thing that's really exciting about the Bible, gone through Jay's proof, the Bible is the Word of God, it's totally continuous. You know, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation. It all claims to be God's Word, even though some of it is written by all those different authors, it's all God's Word. This really gives it the weight of being truth. What does Luke always say about and is targeting truth? Truth doesn't fear what?
Doesn't fear
examination. Examination, right. Do lies fear examination?
Yep.
Why?
They don't
want to
get caught.
Yeah, you might find out that a lie is a lie. The truth, what are you going to find out? It's true.
It's amazing what people go through to cover up the lie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what brings that fear in. You know, I'm reading a book about one of the kings, one of the bad kings, Manasseh. They portrayed in his book as he being very paranoid. Mm-hmm. And Hitler, I think, was very paranoid. Anybody who's pushing a lie is going to be paranoid that, what? Lies going to find out. Jesus didn't care for me. He didn't have any skeletons in the closet they were going to drag out, you know. He was exactly who he says he was. So he didn't fear any sort of examination. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, and we'll read verses 21 through 24.
Please have your case, the Lord says. Bring forward your strong arguments, the King of Jacob says.
Let them bring forth and declare us what is going to take place. As for the former men, declare what they were, that we may consider them and know their outcome, or announce to us what is coming.
Declare the things that are going to come afterward, that we may know that you are gods. Indeed, do good or evil, that we may anxiously look about us and fear together.
Behold, you are of no account, and your work amounts to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination.
God calls on the carpet the religions of the world. Okay, he says, show me if you are truth. If you are truth, This is a, he gives a litmus test for here for what is truth. Okay? Present your case. Declare what is going to take place. Make sure you get the past right, the things that have passed. You know, that's God's, and God does, again, doesn't fear examination. Again, if you've gone through the proof the Bible is the Word of God study, you know, that's one of the, that's one of the proof the Bible is the Word of God. It's the only religious text that can pass those tests successfully. So it doesn't fear examination. God desires all to be saved and to come to knowledge of Him. For there is one God and one mediator. God, the mediator is the man Jesus Christ. He is the ransom given at the proper time for us. So, how many ways are there to get to heaven? Has anybody ever, you know, talked with somebody? My mom, I think, is one of these. Many roads, you know, lead to heaven, and yeah, and that's so frustrating. Okay, they say you're Christianity, that's okay. You know, Mormonism, that's okay. The Baptists, they're fine, and you know, there's some good Muslims out there. It's a very frustrating statement because if we read if we take the words of Jesus at face value, are the Mormons right? Can they be right? It's impossible, you know. And can other versions of Christianity be right? No. Okay, there is one way, and Jesus is the doorkeeper for that.
Amazing how mad people get when you tell them that.
They get very mad. Okay, but again, truth. There's only one. How many answers are there? Great. Grab my seat, Chris. How many answers to 2 + 2 are there? How many right answers?
The new math?
Right. Yeah, there's only one right answer to 2 + 2. How many answers?
There's 3 + 1.
What's that?
There's 3 + 1.
That's a different equation, though.
I don't get to share.
So, how many wrong answers are there to 2 + 2?
I mean, a lot.
Infinite.
You hit it exactly right. That's one thing that there's only one right answer, but there's an infinite wrong answer. Same thing with Christianity. There's one way to get through heaven, and that's Christ. There's lots of false ways to get to heaven, and He'll just send you to hell. What do you got, Lorenzo?
It kind of makes me think of whenever He says He's like the gate, and those who try to enter the sheepfold by a different way are thieves and robbers.
Right.
You're basically trying to do it your way. You're trying to steal away. But it's not going to work out that way, because in John 8, He's saying to the Jews who believe in Him.
Right.
It's not, you know, you can claim a lot of different things, but He says if you continue in My word, then you're truly My disciples.
Yep.
If you're not being in the word, if you're not following through the life you're supposed to.
And why do you have to read the word?
How is
to know. Exactly. Some people, I don't know if you've ever had a guy have it, ran into someone says, well, I have my own religious experience, or I know what, you know, I met God out in the back 40 or whatever. You know? Yeah, you run into people like that, and they have a religious experience, but they don't know what the Bible says. So they don't really know God. All they know is a feeling, and faith is more than that. So, if someone pointed out, there were Jews who believed in Him. You know, we each get to choose our, determine our own destiny. Let's go to Acts chapter 13.
Verses 46 through 48. I'll get 46 and 47. Mike and Brady, 48.
And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we're turned to the Gentiles.
For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth.
When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed.
Thanks. So there are those that respond here to the truth. Okay? Paul, and there were those that didn't. You know, actually, in verse 45, the Jews filled with jealousy and began contradicting it. And Paul said, hey, it's necessary that the truth get laid out here. Because that's the only way you're going to find out who true seekers are, is truth. You've got to put it out there. Who listens to it is not of the truth. Who doesn't listen to it is not of the truth. Who does is of the truth.
So that's what the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's, what does it say? It's, what's that? Word of, go ahead.
It's living.
It's living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Exactly. No, you're right there, Chris. Really good. So, it cuts through. Again, that truth, it figures out. It's going to show you really quickly what is false. So, there's all sorts of different opinions. But with truth, there's only one. Okay? The Jews had their opinion. They didn't listen. Why do you think the Jews listened? Chris?
They were stubborn. They had it all in front of them. But they were so naive to themselves, so blinded, that they saw them, they had them, and boom. It was more meant for the Gentiles, I think, because they seen it, they knew what was going on, and they received it before the Jews.
You're right. They're stubborn because of their own preconceived ideas. The Gentiles, they didn't have any preconceived ideas. So they were open to what it actually said. They took it at face value. And it's a challenge today. I don't know if you've studied with people. Sometimes, if you Bible studies I've done with people who are well-versed in the Baptist doctrine are much harder than someone who's just in the world. Because you got to dig through all that false doctrine that's in their head. And, you've got to peel back all those layers. And sometimes their pride keeps them from listening to that, to what the Bible actually says. So, truth, and truth is going to reveal that stuff. Jesus said, let's go back to John chapter 8. We are doing verses 30 through 36. It's kind of our target text that we're looking at right now. And following Christ from the Scriptures' perspective is not a matter of a one-time commitment, is it? There is a moment in time where you become a Christian. When is that?
Immersion.
Yeah, that's kind of the culmination where everything comes, and boom, now you are in the kingdom of God. But does it stop there?
It starts.
Great answer. Yeah, that's where it starts. You got to do what?
Got to be.
You got to be faithful for a week, a month, to win. Till death. You've got to be sticking with this thing through death. And that's where the core of Christianity. We probably all know people that get immersed and a month or two later they're gone. Sometimes sooner than that. Sometimes people make it a year or two. I guarantee you in your life you will be pushed sometime to it'll be determined how much you really want this. You'll be pushed to the edge. Maybe it comes from a loved one, maybe it comes from health, maybe it comes from a job, whatever. It will come from the government, persecution. But you're going to have to decide how far you're going to go with your faith. And again, it has to be unto death. You have to, Christianity is not a one-time commitment. The teaching here that Christ uses is abide. Okay? What does abide mean?
Abide.
Abide, yeah. What's the word mean, anyone?
Be within.
To abide. Yeah, to be within. For a month, for a day. No, it's to live in. Okay? To abide, it means you're living in it. Okay? We have to constantly be abiding in His Word. So that means I just got to go on Sundays and listen to the guy up front.
You just punch a card.
Yeah. And that's some people's idea. No, to abide in His Word. I'll be straight up with you. You got to pretty much read it every day. Okay? We got to be getting the Word into our hearts and to our mind. We got to be in it all the time. Or you're not going to stay with it. Only a lifelong commitment to truth and to getting truth in our minds. Do you realize how much we're bombarded by stuff today? Messages?
the messages that come through all the advertising, through television, through the internet, through radio, through phones, through what, I mean, the amount of messages that we're, or yeah, messages that we're bombarded with today is way more than when I was a kid. And it's probably going to be more and more. They're going to find more ways to tap into your life. If you're not abiding in God's word, how do you think you're going to do with all that stuff being pounded into your head? Probably not going to do very well. Okay? That's why I said we need to abide in his word. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Who are you on? Dave, you got that?
2:28, 1 John. Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming.
Thank you. So, abide in him. Live in him. We can't live in Jesus Christ in one sense today, because, you know, but how can we? I mean, there's two things. We got the Holy Spirit in us, but we got to be reading the Word, too. We need to be getting his Word into our hearts and our minds, because that's what we operate on. That's what we'll get down as to our inner man, as Jay puts it, or our subconscious. Go ahead.
Yeah, like earlier in that chapter, it says, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Right.
That's like, you know, you want to buy in God, you want to be in the Word. Friendship with the world is hostility to God.
Right. So. And it's also, you're living in the world. In what, I mean, if you love the world, if we're engaging in all that the world has to offer, it's that's what we're living. Again, what's running through our mind day in and day out? If we're not spending 10, 15 minutes at least getting this into our mind, we're not living in it. We're not abiding with him. We're fooling ourselves.
And when you're talking to somebody, you can tell what's going in is what comes out. So they got the television on 24/7, that's what's going to come out.
Yeah.
But if they're in the Word, that's what's going to come out.
Right. And you know, when do you really find out what's in your heart?
Oh, trials and tribulations and persecutions, when the inner man gets flustered.
Right. Right. Yeah. When you're stressed. So when that stress becomes persecutions, trials, whatever, you really find out who you are when you go through trials. You know, it's easy to worship God in the sanctuary. I remember we went to a non-denominational church, Christ, back in Idaho, and you know, their concept of going to worship, and they, you know, remember Beth, what's her name, anyhow, a lady, she's like, her kids got her all flustered when she was coming to assembly on Sunday, and she wanted to be in the right mood to worship. And kids can do that, they can push you. Okay. But you really Sam's not here to
hear. Maybe Serena, she's
the next.
Yeah.
They can.
Yeah.
But you worship 24/7, so you don't. We don't just want to put on a happy face when we get here. We want to be able to worship when we're having those kids going crazy around us. You know, whatever it may be. Okay, that is what true worship is. That is the worship that the Father really desires.
Oh man, switching from employee to employer.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Switch from an employee to an employer.
Oh.
So the stress level's a little higher because now it went from just punching the card every day
to 24 hours. Huh?
Touché. So I think I've worked more now than I ever have.
Oh, yeah. Did you think you'd be... Are you a manager?
Partner.
Sounds like an owner.
Yeah. Yeah. You can talk to... Yeah, if you ever talk to Mr. Toole... He was manager at Texas Roadhouse, and yeah, he was so 60 hours a week minimum.
I come here to take my mind off and just reboot myself with the brothers and the sisters and the scripture.
But your challenge,
keeping me sane.
Your challenge, Chris, is to be able to worship God even in the insane moments.
That's right. And that's exactly right.
I think Chris hit on a little bit of a point there. He may or may not know it, but Jesus makes us partners too. And when you have an ownership interest in something, like you're saying,
yeah,
you're a little bit more careful about what you're doing and right. how you're doing it and why you're doing it, and you want to keep it going.
And now, what he just said, I get a sense of accomplishment when I do something right, and it checks my accountability.
Yeah, a lot of accountability.
That's kind of a side point, but I really like the point, is if you just show up at assembly for an hour, every once in a while on Sunday, you're really not invested in this. Okay, you're not invested in the truth. Hey, if we close our door, I'll just head to the place down the street. A lot of people, that's the way. That's why the modern church, I use that word very loosely, they don't want to offend anybody because they know you can just head down the street to something else. Okay. Was Jesus worried about offending anybody?
No.
He wasn't at all.
Okay.
And that's because he spoke the truth. Okay.
Divide husbands, mothers and daughters and sons and fathers.
Jesus wanted to make disciples. He wanted to make lifelong followers of him who would stick with him. He didn't want churchgoers. He wanted true disciples who were committed to this. Through the thick and the thin. The apostles, did they all live out their golden years in retirement with a big old 401k? No, they all died a martyr's death except for John. He got exiled to Patmos. That is, and the only way they could do that was they were disciples of Christ. They were determined to stick with this through the thick or the thin. Okay, that's what God wants, our disciples. Who are going to stick with this. Christianity is not the easy road, it's the right road. Okay? It's the road to truth, and the truth will set you free. It will set you free from sin, guilt, things that really, that's what messes up this world. Why is the world need drugs, legal and illegal? Guilt, why is everyone looking to the government to save them? The world is a slave to all sorts of things. But the truth, which Jesus offered, will make us free. But it requires us to be disciples of him, not just simple churchgoers. That means reading our Bible, showing up at assembly, doing the same thing over and over again. Through that, we get victory. Is it easy? No. Is it easier than reveling in sin? Yes. those trapped in sin, they think it's the easy way, but the guilt, you just see it in people's eyes day in and day out. They are not free. I'm free. No one's going to tell me what to do. Yeah. You know who's telling you what to do? The world and Satan. Mm-hmm. Got you by the ears.
Mm-hmm. No.
Because they bought into that lie. Well, maybe this will make me happy. Maybe this will make me happy. So, we gotta, it says know the truth and the truth will set you free. I've kind of touched on it, but we have to know the truth. We have to know what's in the Bible. Okay, not what some guy says up front, not what even Luke says. We gotta know what does the Bible says. Thankfully, Luke preaches straight from the scriptures, which is very encouraging, but we gotta know what it is. We gotta know what's truth and what is a lie. It's amazing if you ask a lot of people out there, you can probably make up a book in the Bible and they wouldn't have a clue it's there. I guarantee you can make up a saying. It'd be really, very few people could out there in Christianity would have any clue if you made up a verse.
They do.
Yeah, and they're right, they do. They make stuff up. They twist stuff. Chop off the ends of verses and so forth. So we got to know the truth. We got to know what it actually says. Who are we on? Can you read? Chris? Can you read Corinthians 13, verse 6?
13?
1 Corinthians. I'm sorry about that.
And what was chapter?
Chapter 13, verse 6.
Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoice in with the truth.
bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, it will be done away. If there's no tongues, there will be no seas. If there is no knowledge, it will be done away.
Thanks. You know, that, rejoices in truth. Rejoices in truth. Why? Because it's refreshing. Even back then, there was a lot of lies going around. A lot of government trying to control. That was happening back then, and it happens today. You got to know the truth. The truth will set you free. And Paul and his bond servants say we rejoice in the truth. Okay? Because it has power. And it's power back then, and it has power today. Okay? And that's why when we work with people with Christianity, or discipling people, working through, is the Bible true? It's like a load off their shoulders. Why? Because it is good news. We're not going into the whole gospel, but the whole gospel is your sins can be forgiven. And you, not only that, but if you really focus on Christ in glory, you can stop sinning. And that's exciting stuff in a world that is just so trapped in sin. So the truth, Jesus ends it there, but the truth will make you free. As long as a person is ducking truth, he's going to be bound to fear. Because he's trying to cover stuff up. It is just exhausting trying to cover a lie. And it's funny because lies eventually get found out. But if you're not bound to sin, then you're free. Because your whole life, it's like, I don't care if you know what I say or if you examine my life. Why? Because it's truth. Jesus did not fear examination, and they examined him probably more than any other person in history. Why? He had nothing to hide. What'd you have, Lorenzo?
I think it's Proverbs 27, verse 1 or something like that. But it says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as a lion.
Right.
It's like, you know whenever you're doing wrong. You just kind of look around. You're not really sure. I don't know if somebody saw me or whatever, But.
Right.
Well, it's funny, too, that people that do wrong accuse other people of being the same way.
Yep.
Because that's how they are, so if they just act or assume that everybody's that way.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Well, God in heaven makes us accountable, and the Bible makes us accountable.
Right. And again, and that's really where you want to go. The Bible will make you accountable. It will allow you to get rid of that sin if you want to get rid of it. But some people, I go back to, they buy into the lie that this time the world solution will work. It's never worked before. This new relationship will make me happy. This new job will make me happy. This new drug will make me happy. This whatever you want, chug in there. The next president will make me happy. If I had X amount of dollars, I'd be happy. I mean, whatever it is, people are looking for it, and all they're doing is chaining themselves down more. What they need is the truth. The truth will make them free. But that requires honesty. Honesty with God, with self, and with others. And if we're in the truth, we can be honest. If we're not in the truth, there's no way we're going to be honest. We're going to lie to cover stuff up. And that doesn't bring any sort of freedom at all. As a whole, mankind lives in denial. Okay? He doesn't... most of mankind is in denial of really where they're at. Like I said before, they hide it. They cover it up. Money, people, relationships, jobs, whatever they can stuff in there. A lot of people, when they, get down and have to deal with their inner man, the true self, which happens to us all, eventually our health and our outer man is decaying. It's not going to last. And as it decays, got to deal with your real self. There's a reason they, I can just speak from my personal experience. My dad is a mess. He was fine, at least I remember growing up, but he's a mess right now because he got old and his physical couldn't do much, and he can't do much now at all, and he's on all sorts of medications with the problem compounding the issue, and he can barely walk two steps and is winded. Okay? His hope is gone. His hope was in this life. Okay? So now he's a slave to this life, and he's not free at all. Okay. Freedom is what Christ offers. The truth will set us free. But we have to buy into it full tilt. Only then can we be loosened of the shackles of this life. And there's a lot of shackles of this life. The Jews. Did the Jews... the Jews here, they said, verse 33 in chapter 8, they make a really funny statement that I really want to, we're having come close to getting to the end of our notes. This is a great thing. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, have not never yet been enslaved to anyone. How does it say you will become free?" This is the Jews speaking. They had never been enslaved to anyone. Anybody see something wrong with that? What?
Is it hanging out in Egypt by choice, or?
Well, yeah, but even after that. Look at them right now. Yeah. they're enslaved by the Romans. I mean, they are an occupied people. They weren't free. Whatever Caesar said they were going to have to do. They were slaves.
And they just became a state in 1948. So they've been scattered all that time until 1948, right?
I think so. I don't track that too much because they're now a state, but
right.
Not all the people in Israel can track their lineage back to being a true Jew. So that's why God doesn't really care too much on that. I'm not trying to say, but some people, and why I just bring it up is that some people say, "Oh, well, the God's getting ready to do the rapture." And I've been in some interesting conversations on the line. So they say they've never been enslaved to anyone, but they were an occupied country at right here. They were occupied at various times throughout in the past. Obviously, the Babylonians conquered them. Okay, and then Rome, Greeks had them. I mean, we're not slaves. They were slaves. Again, denying really who they are and where they are at. We are Abraham's offspring. We've never yet been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you can be free? Rome's occupation was everywhere. Okay, they had been slaves for many, many years. They were in total denial of really where they were at. But what were the Jews, the leading Jews, especially waiting for at this time?
They waited for the Messiah.
They were, to deliver them from what?
From Rome.
Yeah. Again, physical deliverance. That's the biggest challenge in Christianity, to get our focus off of the physical and onto the spiritual. That's really where we want to go. We want to get that spiritual outlook. Jesus, and that's what Jesus really is trying to do. He's trying to get people to understand what true freedom is. That's really our challenge today when we work with people. Our world's in slavery. Slavery to sin. Slavery to guilt. The amount of guilt out there is crazy. You know, when you look at destroyed marriages, messed up families, people on all sorts of, drugs, illegal, legal, you name it. Yeah, I mean, they are slaves to this world. Okay, there's only one freedom. It's freedom that Christ offers in the scriptures. And that's the freedom that we want to be able to offer others as well. You know, we can get that, you know, if we stick with it. We got to abide in His word. We have to live in what Jesus said. We got to know what's in there. But that truth will make us free. It'll make anyone free who wants to, again, humble themselves and listen to it. Don't come at it with a predisposed idea of what it says, like the Jews did. They had their own agenda. The only agenda that works is the agenda which is Christ. We'll ahead and stop there. We're 8:05 already. So, any comments or any prayer requests other than what we had on the board there? Chris?
Pray tomorrow. I got my first symposium, public library. It's free. It's going to go over marketed planning, business development, and some other stuff. It's the intro, but let Wayne and I be able to present it clear. And then
afraid I could get into the oral surgeon before May 15th. I'm like, four wisdoms got to come out.
Make sure you take a few days off after that.
Oh, yeah. Can't.
Well,
you will. That's why I got a partner. I can go do the writing while he does the song. But
okay.
Yeah.
What else? Lorenzo.
I had this guy I've been trying to Bible study with. Other than Chase, his name is Rusty. And like sometimes he'll get real close, but then right the last month, then I can't like that. But he is the one that first approached me, so I'm like, okay, what? Why would you approach me, but now you don't? So it's kind of weird, but I think that he really has a genuine interest.
Good.
Stuff work.
Sounds like me. I was like that with Luke and Jacob Akers. I had it right there. It was like.
But yeah, just what's his name again?
Rusty.
Rusty. Okay. All right. Well, let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, great God, our Father in heaven, Father, we're very thankful, Lord, for this assembly, the time to come together tonight to look into the truth of the Scriptures, Father God. This is the truth that will set us free, Father God. Everything else in this life, no matter what it promises, it can't really make us free. Money, houses, stuff, people, whatever. What makes us free is the gospel, Father. So we just pray that, thank you for the dedication of the saints, everybody here, Father God. Just pray that these words get driven into our hearts, that we might meditate on them, know them, and then live by them, Lord. We just be with us all. We leave here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.